You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion, Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Marine Fiends, here to close out the week with my buddy, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how's it going?
Good, yeah. Another good week of talking Dodgers and, you know, 1 week closer to the season starting if the season starts.
1 week closer. We'll be into the month of February when we next speak, so that's exciting. We'll be into the month where spring training starts, and there'll be games at the end of that month, so that's exciting. We didn't have much news to talk about today, so we're going to respond to a listener who asked us some of our favorite players. He asked for a top 10. We're not going to go full top 10, but you'll see what we have in store. Oh, but before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, a couple quick notes. Kike Hernandez dropped a thank you to LA video. Very well done. He's speaking over highlights from his career with the Dodgers. Yeah, just a nice heartfelt goodbye to Los Angeles. And I wasn't, you know, the biggest Kike fan. I liked Kike and sad to see him go. But yeah, he definitely got me tearing up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, he did a really good job on it. A lot of times those videos where it's them talking. I remember Clevinger did one when he left the Indians and it sounded so stilted and uncomfortable, and Kike sounded sincere and genuine and really, really well done. And yeah, a lot of good memories watching that stuff. I kind of liked that he didn't focus as much on, like, he didn't mention the 3-home run game against the Cubs except like in a tiny bit of passing. Like he didn't say anything about 3 home runs. I think he said game 5 or whatever. But it wasn't like talking himself up. It really seemed sincere about thank you to the fans and to the Dodgers and stuff. So I like that because Kike, you know, is he's an entertainer and a little bit of a showboat, and you never know what you're going to get with him. But I thought it was very well done and very sincere. And yeah, I'm with you. I like Kike, but I didn't expect to get as emotional as I did about it.
One other bit of news, the Ken Rosenthal reported that the Cardinals and Rockies are having discussions about Nolan Arenado. You know, we haven't really heard anything about the Dodgers and Nolan Arenado, you would imagine, or we've all been thinking that they're just going to re-sign Justin Turner, but that'd be something to monitor. I don't really think there's too much to analyze right now, but Jeff, do you have anything?
No, the Cardinals make sense, and I did see some comments on the Athletics article from Cardinals fans saying, oh, must be that time of year again, Cardinals rumors of Nolan Arenado. So I think Cardinals fans maybe aren't optimistic that anything's going to actually come of it, and the article did say nothing is close. But yeah, if the Rockies are looking to trade him, the Cardinals make sense.
So we had a request slash, I guess, question from listener Joe Holt at Joe N. Holt. Listening to yesterday's episode about players, Jeff's not upset about losing. He thought it'd be interesting to hear a ranking on top 10 favorite Dodgers. We've probably done some kind of iteration of this before, either on an old podcast or on this podcast. But there's no reason to not do it again, and there's not really much news to talk about. So the way we structured it is we're going to go top 2 current favorite players that are on the current Dodgers, and then we're going to go top 5 all-time on each side. Without further ado, Jeff, you're up first.
Yeah, my favorite all-time and favorite current. So since we're not including the current ones in the all-time list, but yeah, Clayton Kershaw is my favorite. He was the prospect I was most excited to see debut for the Dodgers, and you and I were both at his first playoff start in 2009, seeing a lot of stuff with Kershaw, and he is my favorite player, and I can't imagine anybody will ever pass him up.
You know, surprisingly, I don't know. I guess I've always been drawn to guys that, you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw is going to be a lot of people's favorite players, and I've always been drawn to that. But I've always kind of been drawn to other to like the smaller guys as well. But I will, you know, match you with Kershaw just for the fact of, you know, we're witnessing greatness. He's been a guy that my whole entire adult life, he's been pitching for the Dodgers, being dominant force. Cy Young's MVPs, I saw his no-hitter in person. Got to see him win a World Series game this past in 2020. So I've just seen so many of his accomplishments and remember them vividly. And it's going to be like the people when they look back that saw Sandy Koufax pitch in person, you will get to say we saw Clayton Kershaw pitch in person.
Yeah, I just realized you were a teenager when Kershaw debuted. Like it, when you said that, your whole adult life. I had two kids already when he debuted. But yeah, it's been fun to watch, and it is cool to say you watched his entire career. My other one, I had a hard time narrowing it down to two because there are a lot of current Dodgers who I love. I think I'm going to go with Bellinger. Something about Cody Bellinger just... I just like everything about him. Even when he's struggling, I just am so impressed by him, jealous of him. Everything about Cody Bellinger, I just love the guy. And, you know, on any given day, I might like Mookie Betts more or Max Muncy more. I really like both of those. Those are the two. I guess Justin Turner's not a current Dodger, but those three guys, Muncy and Mookie and JT, are the other ones who might be close. But, you know, for me, it comes down to something about Cody's personality, even though personality might be where most people would say he's most lacking, but something about his personality I find very endearing. So in addition to being an awesome player, I just really like the dude.
And this one came for me, and Bellinger's a great pick, obviously. For me, this one came down to Max Muncy and Walker Buehler. And while I love Max Muncy's bat drops, I can't go on and not say Walker Buehler is the guy, just the for the sheer fact of how he pitches in the postseason. Obviously, he's been good in the regular season at times and had some issues at times. When it comes down to it, and when the Dodgers need somebody, he's the one I want with the ball in their hand. Both times where the Dodgers were coming up to, you know, potentially being eliminated this past year, once the Dodgers won Game 5, I knew we were going to be at least have a chance to win Game 6 because Buehler's going to go out there and not give up any runs. And then if the Dodgers had lost Game 6 in the World Series, you knew Buehler was there for Game 7, and it, you know, you weren't really concerned. So I haven't really had that type of confidence in someone in the playoffs in a really long time for the Dodgers, and that's probably more of an indictment on me than anything else. But yeah, Buehler's the guy.
Yeah, and that's a great pick too. And I at least got to also mention Corey Seager as an honorable mention. Seager's one of those guys who seems really bland until you hear him talk and like you realize, oh, he is like super charming. And he won my hot Dodger bracket this year because I had just seen an interview with him. So recency bias. So yeah, I like him too.
That'll do it for this part. We're going to come back and do our all-time favorite Dodgers. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar. We've told you that plenty of times. And if you haven't tried it for yourself, I don't know what you're waiting for. But beyond being great tasting, beyond being covered in chocolate, beyond being soft, easy to chew, beyond being like a candy bar, but it's healthy, they are just great for anything you're trying to do. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're doing keto, they're great for that. If you're doing, you know, low carb, they're great for that. Low calorie, they're great for that. If you're trying to put on muscle, they're great for that. If you need a snack, going on a hike, going to the gym, you need a snack, they're perfect for that. That's usually when I use them, either right after the gym or right before the gym if I need something in my system. And they're just the perfect thing to have around. And right now, if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. rockauto.com. They are a family business that's been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Anything you could need for your car, you can go and find it, and find it for a very reasonable price, probably cheaper than anywhere else. If you go to any chain stores, they have different price tiers for mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com treats everyone the same and the same price for everybody, and guess what? Those prices are low. They have a unique catalog they have a unique catalog that's easy to navigate. Website, you know, you won't get stuck. You look for your car, you look for your make and model, you find whatever you need, and that's all you really need to do. And like I said, low pricing. Why else wouldn't you go to rockauto.com? If you do go there and they do ask, how did you hear about us? Make sure to let them know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the Dodgers, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, Jeff. So, like I mentioned, we're going to do top five all-time Dodgers. And since it's not a draft, and it doesn't matter if we have the same, go ahead and go first again.
All right. Yeah. I had seven. I had to narrow it down to five. Obviously, there's been a lot of Dodgers I've loved over the years. But I figure the first one I should mention is the one I actually named one of my children after, and that's Sandy Koufax. My youngest son's middle name is Koufax. And I never got to see Koufax play in person, but because thankfully he's still alive and around Dodger Stadium a lot, I've seen him a lot. I've never met him. It's one of my goals in life. But just reading about Sandy Koufax, watching highlights of him, the few highlights there are, everything about Sandy Koufax. I was a pitcher when I was growing up. I was right-handed, but you know, I have a fondness for pitchers, and Sandy Koufax was maybe the best left-hander ever, at least for those 5 or 6 years of his prime. And so it's hard to go wrong with Sandy Koufax. So that's my first pick.
Yeah, like I said, hard to go wrong. So for me, my list is players I've seen play, which is not a knock on anything. You know, Jackie Robinson, Sandy Koufax, for sure good ones. And technically, I could get away with picking Fernando. I could have technically seen him pitch when he was coming up, but I never actually got to see him pitch for the Dodgers. So my first one is the Hall of Famer, Mike Piazza. Not a Hall of Famer with the Dodgers, but I have always been fond of catchers since I was a catcher growing up. There'll be another catcher on this list. And he was just, you know, the man. Growing up, it was Piazza and Karros, but Piazza was obviously the bigger stud. He's the catcher. He's who I followed. You know, the big home run numbers, the big power. And, yeah, I mean, just 4, 5, 6 year old Vincent is just a big Piazza fan, and didn't really understand or realize it when they traded him. I don't even know how I reacted, but now that I look back and think on it, it's like, dang, I wish it would have been there longer. But either way, Mike Piazza.
Yeah, that's a good pick. And most of mine, actually the rest of mine, are guys who I did see play. You know, it's guys I saw play or named one of my kids after. And I guess Duke Snider could have been on my list since he's got the same last name as me. So in a way, my kids are kind of named after him. All three of them are. But and Jackie Robinson I considered, but I almost can't think of Jackie Robinson in a Dodgers context. He's so much bigger to baseball in general and the world in general. So, but yeah, my other four will be guys I watch play. I'm going to go next with Oral Hershiser. Like I said, I was a pitcher. I was 11 years old in 1988 when the Dodgers won the World Series. 1985 was my first year really paying attention to the Dodgers, and that was Oral's big breakout year when he went 19-3. And then had the opportunity for my 40th birthday to actually get to meet Oral Hershiser and spend a game in the booth with him and Joe. And it was awesome. And yeah, I think my favorite thing about Hershiser is just how nerdy he is. And, you know, I watched that, the video that I've talked about, the Through the Eyes of a Winner, the Dodgers 88 World Series video, and seeing him talk on that, he was just such a nerd. And I love the juxtaposition of a dude who could be so nerdy and then go out and dominate on the mound. So something about his nerdiness was always endearing to me. And obviously the star of the biggest highlight of my Dodgers childhood. So Oral Hershiser is my next one.
Great choice. All right. A couple of the ones on my list are controversial, maybe in the fact that they maybe weren't clean the whole time they played. But it's just the atmosphere at Dodger Stadium when they were there, and that's, you know, when you're either younger or not, or a little bit younger than I am now, whenever they played, is you can't replace that, those feelings, and you can't replace how they made you feel. So that's why Eric Gagne is on my list. You know, I still to this day, I think the ninth inning of Gagne was probably and will be one of the more raucous times ever at Dodger Stadium on a consistent basis. And even Kenley Jansen with California Love, it's just not quite the same, and I'm not sure there'll ever be something like that. All the main closers always had their songs, Welcome to the Jungle, the one for Gagne, and yeah, I mean, people would stay just for the ninth inning just to see Gagne come out and pitch, and that's pretty rare for Dodger fans. And me growing up, obviously, it was always a fun time to be at.
Yeah, I knew you'd pick Piazza and Gagne. I'm wondering if I could guess your other three, but yeah, Gagne was during a time when I wasn't paying attention, but I wasn't living in California and didn't have all the opportunities to watch Dodger baseball, so I kind of watched that from afar, so I didn't have the same attachment. And I remember when we had him on our podcast a couple of years ago, it was a bigger deal for you than it was for me. My next one, I'm going to go, I wouldn't be surprised if you and I have repeats on one of my last two, but the next one we won't. I'm going to go with Brett Butler. Brett Butler was a Dodger center fielder in the early 90s, and just he was just such a nice guy. You know, anytime we went to a Dodger game, which wasn't a ton, we'd go to a couple games a year, but we would always go out to the players' parking lot after the game to try to get autographs and stuff. And Brett Butler was always so nice to all the kids. My brother likes to refer to himself as PAB, P-A-B-B, stands for personal assistant to Brett Butler, because one time after a game, he was sitting on my dad's shoulders to reach over the players' parking lot fence to hand a baseball down to get signed. And Butler signed it and handed it back. And then Butler asked my brother, hey, will you stay up there and hand me stuff? So my brother handed stuff from one side of the fence down to Brett Butler and then passed it back. So he was Brett Butler's personal assistant. And that's the, I think, the crowning achievement in my brother's life. And just kind of an example of what I liked about Brett Butler, that he was just a cool dude and a really, really, really good player. So Brett Butler.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I don't remember which video game it was, but Brett Butler was still on there. And I don't know why, but the picture just made him look so old. So I always thought of Brett Butler as an old man.
And he was number 22.
Yeah, that's true. All right, my next one, this is probably the one that we overlap on for sure. Another catcher, Russell Martin, and he's actually the last player I ever owned a jersey for. And then after he left, I vowed to not buy player jerseys anymore, which is why I have the fan since 91. Although that will change when they release the gold trim jerseys. But either way, yeah, Russell Martin, obviously catcher, obviously came up with all the other kids. And he's always the one that stood out to me because of what I mentioned already. But he was just, you know, a good leader, clutch guy. I don't know. He just had a simple batting sense that I really liked. And, yeah, for a younger Vincent, it was just more of a – he was a catcher, and I like catchers, and he was cool enough. So that's the guy.
Yeah. I guess for my next one, I will also do Russell Martin. Definitely a repeat. I was at his first career game. I was living in Utah, but I had gone down to California to visit my family, and I had tickets to – the game, and the day or two before the game, Dionor Navarro got hurt, and I realized they might call up Russell Martin. I might be Russ Martin, as he was called back then, and I might get to see Russell Martin's debut. And yeah, we were sitting third base side, just kind of even with the third base bag, and you know, 10 or 12 rows deep on field level, we had pretty good seats, and so I remember watching him walk down towards the bullpen before the game in his catcher's gear to go get ready, warm up the starting pitcher. I don't remember who that was, but I remember yelling, Russell Martin, you're my hero. And he kind of looked up at me and kind of had this look of, how come anybody's ever heard of me? But yeah, that game ended with him, or there was a play at the plate, I know, in the game. I don't remember if it ended the game, but a play at the plate that he got run over and held onto the ball. I think Jason Repko threw the ball in from center field. And yeah, Russell Martin, I was a big fan ever since then. And my wife was pregnant with our last child, who we ended up naming after Sandy Koufax, and we were seriously considering naming him after Russell Martin. And then it was while she was pregnant that the Dodgers non-tendered Russell, and he left the team for several years, but never left my heart.
All right, my next one, like I mentioned, maybe controversial, but it's just you can't replace the memories. And as a Dodger fan who had only seen one playoff win in his lifetime, Manny Ramirez is one of those guys that, you know, brought some big-time joy, big-time moments, and just an absolute terror that he had went on that year when he, you know, pretty much helped carry the Dodgers into the playoffs, go all the way to the NLCS. You look back at some of those teams, the 2008, 2009 teams, and I'm not really sure how they made the NLCS both those years. But, you know, though obviously the first year, the big reason was because of Manny Ramirez. And, yeah, it's – I always liked him since the Indians days, you know, the Red Sox days. And then for him to come to the Dodgers and do what he did, it just made me like him even more. Obviously, everything that happened in the suspension, everything took a little bit of the shine off. But like I said, you can't really replace those memories. So they're always going to be strong memories for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were right at that right age for Manny when he did come to the Dodgers. So that's a good pick. My last pick is another one that it's kind of complicated, but it's Matt Kemp. And Matt Kemp in 2011, that year, Kershaw and Kemp, the rest of the team was lousy, but Kershaw and Kemp were so much fun to watch. And I just remember that feeling of, you know, I remember I was out to dinner with my family and we had just sat down at a restaurant at a table, and I pulled out my phone to check the game day app to see how the Dodger game was going. And it was the first inning and I saw that they were up 2-0. And I just knew, oh, cool, Matt Kemp hit a 2-run home run in the first inning. Like it was, and I looked, and sure enough, he had. It was, that was just what happened. You just knew anytime something good happened, it was because Matt Kemp did something. And it was a feeling that wasn't replaced until, or that wasn't replicated until 2019 Cody Bellinger early in the year when it just, he could do no wrong. And that's the way 2011 Matt Kemp was for me. And, you know, he ended up being oft injured, and it's easy to forget that he was actually had the active, he was the active leader in consecutive games played at the moment that he ran into the wall in Colorado, and then the wheels kind of fell off. And the second time around with the Dodgers, I loved Kemp still, but it wasn't quite the same. But nothing will ever change the way I felt about Matt Kemp in 2011 and 2012.
I almost went with Kemp as the one, but I don't know. I guess I haven't been as attached to players in recent years just for the fact that they're always moving around. So, like, you know, Kemp and Ethier, a lot of people are in love with them, and I, you know, enjoy them, and we're glad they were on the Dodgers, but I don't have the same, I guess, infatuation. That might be too strong of a word. You know, the obvious answer for this last one for me, I'm not going to say because of things that we haven't been resolved in his personal life, so I'm not going to bring it up. So I'm going to finish off with Raul Mondesi, who was another one when I was growing up and part of those string of rookies of the year. But the main one for Mondesi is just I remember pretty much replicating everything, playing ball in the front yard, the way he ducked down or you know, the way he squatted a little bit when he got up to the plate, where he pushed his helmet down, his stance, and then obviously he had the rocket and then the outfield. He was just a fun player to watch and kind of the type of player that I'm always going to be interested in watching. Super athletic, who's maybe not the best player, but he's probably the best athlete for the most part on the field. And for me, that's always kind of exciting because baseball, they get the best. They get really good athletes, but there's just a different tier, like the one Raul Mondesi was in.
Yeah, I think it's fun that you didn't want to pick the guy with a complicated history, so instead you went with the guy who's literally in prison right now. So
yeah, but for different reasons. Drug smuggling, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah, that's a good pick, Mondesi. That whole string, Eric Karros was my other close call that almost made the list, also because of how nice he was out by the players' parking lot. So, yeah, that string of rookies of the year was fun.
All right, that will do it for our choices. If you guys want to send us your choices, you're always welcome to do so. But Jeff, do you have anything else before we head out for the weekend?
No, but I would love to hear feedback on what we got right and what we got wrong. Obviously, there's no right or wrong on picking favorite players, but who did you guys love?
Yeah, we always want to hear from you guys and, you know, probably bring up some names that most of our guys were fairly well known, I guess, at the time was when they played. Some have faded away from memory as time goes on. But, yeah, always interested to see who you guys like. You can let us know on our social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can tell Jeff directly on Twitter at Snydog or me at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family to do so. Make sure to listen every day. If you're not an everyday listener already, try to make yourself listen to one more episode than you normally do next week. Then the week after that, same thing. All the way up until you're an everyday listener. And then guess what? You're one of our favorite listeners because you listen every day. So make sure to do that. We are also available to reach via text or call at 323-863-5625. Or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.